This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Broadcasting from 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle, we welcome in other great radio stations to the program, like 1210 The Man in Miami, Florida. Also, our friends at Big Dog 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri, and Rock 105, Chattanooga's Rock Station in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Some of the areas so far that have not been quite hit as hard by the coronavirus, as far as Tennessee is concerned. I looked at a map today, and man, oh man, New York is just absolutely getting hammered right now.
They're getting hammered, but one of the things to keep in mind, they're also testing. Like, the states that are doing more testing, you'll notice, like, this massive spike in the numbers of cases. I mean, that has a lot to do with it.
So, you know, we're in day two of the state of Washington being shut down and self-quarantining going on. But we want to know today, why were you either home for a while for whatever reason? Maybe it was medical. Maybe you got laid off, whatever the deal was. Or why were you away from home? Be it work, be it military, whatever the deal was.
It wasn't COVID-19. Like, everyone has it's one blanket reason right now. No matter where you are in the world, like, no one calls them, yeah, I don't feel so good today. It's like, dude, it's COVID-19.
That is.
Right? That's the cover. But back in the good old days, either you had to lie, right? I remember in 10th grade, I hated school, so I skipped school a lot. I basically missed my entire junior year. There was nothing wrong with...
Where did you go?
Oh, dude, it's bad. I had a job for a little while, and then so my junior year of high school, you are required to make available 180 days of academia. I missed 120 of them. To put this in perspective, all right? So I just didn't go to school. Sometimes you double back and go home, but I never knew for sure my parents were going to get home, and I'm not trying to get caught. Eventually, I was caught, and that was a bad time in my life. But leading up to that, sometimes you go to the library. Sometimes you meet some of your drug-dealing friends, and you hang out with them and just get stoned. But had a job for a little while, but the place I got a job was at Baltimore's Inner Harbor, right? Massive tourist trap. That's all it is, but a fine place. But I get a job there because it's easy to get a job when you're a high schooler at a place where you're just cranking out food to tourists, right? That's all this is. The problem was it was directly across the street from McCormick Spice Company. Now, the headquarters for McCormick Spice, right, makers of Old Bay and all the rest of this stuff, that's where my father worked. And before they moved out into the county, the headquarters was directly across the street from the place that I'm working. And it occurred to me that there can be a real good chance that if Dad wants lunch, right, the closest place he could walk to is at least the building I'm in, not necessarily the place that's slinging food. So I stopped doing that, decided, I don't need to get a job. So basically wandered around, did drugs, finally got pumped on that, man, and it was a real negative time in life. I'll leave it at that. But there was no good reason other than, and that's the thing, you know, and I get it now as a parent. My parents, they just want to understand, like, why? Like, why would you go through so much trouble just to not go to school? I'm looking back because I'm an idiot, but I don't really have a reason. You know, it's like, man, I don't like it. And, you know, as a dad, that's like, that's the worst reason.
That's not a good enough excuse.
Oh, man. I mean, but I will say this. I learned a lot in a short time after that. And
probably learned a lot of life lessons.
I will say this. What I did not learn academically, I certainly learned with life lessons in about a 20-minute period with my father when all of this news broke.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. Like, look, for whatever reason, you know, when you go away and you experience different things, my buddy Joel, when we were in high school, he was going through a pretty rough patch of just not doing the right things. He fought with his parents all the time.
Was his father abusive or something like
that?
His
father was a little bit abusive.
Okay,
but
I don't have that. My parents were fine.
But he was also going out and he was stealing cars. He was breaking into places. Like,
okay, well,
he had his own thing going on. I got caught up in it with him. Like, we would
caught up with what?
Going out stealing stereos out of cars and stuff like that. Just whatever, you know what I mean? But
I wish people could see how you shrug it off. Like, well, I mean, you know,
whatever.
Just,
you know, Alpines are nice back then. Alpines.
Yeah.
European cars are normally better to get into.
Yeah, I remember.
Anyway, and you could take the whole dash off through the middle compartment. But he was... I was always blamed for his being mischievous. Like, oh, you're hanging out with the kids on the other side of the lake.
You know? You get blamed all the time. I'm just throwing this out there. There might be a reason for
that. So he goes. So they send him to basically a prep school, a private disciplinary prep school,
like a border school,
like a boarding school, in a different state.
That's
so
a border,
one of my best friends is just gone. Like the parents have had enough. It all culminated one night when he got in a fight with his dad. His dad had a Jaguar, and he had a Mercedes-Benz, and he went in there as center blocks, and they were both convertibles, and he busted out the front windshield in them and completely sliced the tops of the cars. Oh, that was the end of that was the last straw with his dad, right?
Yeah, you're not going to see him much, actually.
So Joel comes back 9 months later from school.
He was pregnant.
He is now a professional debaucherist.
Of course.
He went to, like, debaucherist university. He got a degree from all the other idiots that were there on how to be the most complete idiot possible. Like, I could not believe the skill level of idiocy that he came back with.
I can steal anything now.
He knew how to do coke 9 different ways. Like, you name it. Like, it was just...
Snorties for amateurs. Right,
exactly. I mean, I was just like, what happened? And it really was this accelerated period of being around all these other guys who were also debaucherous.
Well, yeah.
Who'd done everything, you know, 15-year-old could do as well. Their parents were affluent enough to be able to send them all away.
That's all. This was not about helping your kid. This is, I cannot deal with my kid. Just send him some like-minded
morons.
And
I mean, when he came back, I almost couldn't hang out with him because it was just too much.
He was beyond your stereo.
Like, dude, you're taking it too far.
Well, what did he, other than
he just
drugs.
Came back with a bunch of cocaine? You know what I mean? But he was. But you know what, man? Like, in high school,
what do you mean he came back with a bunch of cocaine. Like, that was it.
Oh, he had tons of it. I mean, like, he was selling it. He had it. You know what I mean? And he wasn't just snorting cocaine. He was doing everything with cocaine. So when you see that for the first time at that age, you're like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
It's a heavier level of. What are you into now than it was just smoking a joint, sneaking a beer, doing all that kind of stuff?
But I always felt bad. Like, when I was really dirtbagging it around New Orleans, this is when I actually lived in New Orleans, right? And look, maybe I was at my worst. We don't need to go down that path. But I would team up with this guy, and we'd go in for blow all the time. And this is the most low-grade stuff. I'm pretty sure they just took fiberglass, ground it up, gave it to us. But this dude would freebase it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember every time, and I was used to it. My buddy Drake, it didn't matter. Not that Drake, an entirely different person. But we just sit in his little one-bedroom place, right? And I'm just snorting the hell out of coke. And this dude, it was such a long process for him. Because as we went through this, I'm dumping my crap out on his table, right? I am face down, and I'm flying on something that is akin to coke, but probably not quite that. He's taking the time, and we'd always just talk, right? And he's tying up his arm, and then he's lighting up his spoon.
But it's weird to watch that.
It is, man, but it's such a weird thing. So I'm like, why do I feel like you're a bigger dirtbag than I am? And, like, I'm a dirtbag right now, but somehow it just looks worse.
Oh, but same that drug. Stuff. Look, man, my buddy knew he was a diabetic, and my other roommate, Jamie, was a nursing student, but he was also a steroid head. And both of them would give each other shots every day. It still freaked me out. One would do it in the stomach just to give himself an insulin shot. The other would do it in his ass so he'd get all jacked up. And every time I watched him, I was like, God damn, guys.
But at least one's getting jacked up, one's for his health. This dude, we're just getting high.
If I'm getting a shot, I'd rather be jacked up. You know what I mean?
Actually, to be honest with you, if I got to get a needle, I'd rather be getting high.
Didn't have the sugar.
I mean, if the doctor said, look, I got one of three needles. You want to get high, you want to get buff, or you want to be healthy. But, like, you know what, dude, just give me stone.
Why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Bernie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, naked ladies.
Hola.
So, Bernie, were you home for a while or away for a while?
Well, about 15 years or so ago, I was living with a gal. We were engaged, and her brother, who's a bodybuilder, had a big fight with his stepmother, and so she invited him and his girlfriend to live with us.
What were your thoughts when she initially sent out this invite? Because you got to bite your tongue a little bit, but what's going through your head?
Oh, she did not consult me. I just come home from work one day, and he's there eating us out of house and home because he needs protein a lot. So I lived in a tent in the backyard for a summer, three months.
You moved out of your house.
My own house.
Just to get away from
him. Because he was such a... Was he that difficult to live with?
Oh, yeah. His girlfriend was really nice, but he was a douchebag.
Okay.
And he was there for the whole summer.
Did your girlfriend stay in the house?
Oh, yeah.
So basically...
I slept in a tent.
You had to leave your own home because your girlfriend's brothers and their mother said that it was okay?
No. He was living with them, his dad and his stepmom, and he got in a big fight with her, and they just moved in one day.
Okay, yeah, that's crazy.
See, that's not like bringing home a puppy, where you go like, this is a bad idea, but it's cute, we both know how this ends.
I guess you're probably not with that person anymore?
Exacto.
Okay, and whatever became of her bodybuilding brother, do you know?
I know he had a tryout with the Houston Astros, but he...
Of course he did, because he's a steroid user. He's a cheater.
Yeah, he's cheating on steroids. What other team?
All I got to know is I know how to listen to a trash can being beaten on.
God, I dated a chick for a while, and she had a friend who I hadn't known about. This dude was in and out of prison. He's a heroin addict, all right? No big deal. And I guess he'd been in for like 2 years or something. Gets out, calls her. They're on the phone, like, whatever. She walks up to me. We're living together. She's like, hey. And I'm like, oh, no. She's like, I just told Sean, he stay here to get back on his feet. I said, listen, his pattern is that he does not get back on his feet, but I'm not in position to judge, even though clearly I have, but whatever. But I just said, listen, he's a heroin addict, man, and I know a lot of cats do a lot of things and run with these dudes, and I'm just telling you now, he's going to steal everything in this house. He's going to steal everything in the house. She's like, no. We've been best friends since we were kids. I'm like, listen, I'm just telling you. It's like when someone gets drunk. It's not that I don't like you, but Jack Daniels is speaking for me, and he might pick words different. And I'm not forgiven for that, so just understand. Whatever. Dude moves in. He moves in that morning. I go to work. By the time I get home from work that same day, he has, in fact, ripped us off. But the silver lining in this.
What'd he steal?
I never had to say I told you so because this guy, and this is what blows my mind about this, since we lived together, he only stole stuff that was hers. He would not take anything of mine. Not because he's like scared of me or anything. It's just for whatever reason, his code of honor is like, I'm only going to steal from my friends. So she lost her camera. She lost a stereo. And this is back when stereos had like the big 200 CD changer kind of thing.
He stole a stereo.
He stole the TV. So our entertainment center had a TV, your stereo components and speakers. None of that was there. He did leave the entertainment center and one set of RCA cables, which I thought
was gone after that?
Gone. About 2 days later, she got a handwritten letter from apologizing, but the stuff was gone. And I never had to say anything. I'm like, well, I got my TV in the bedroom. I'll go ahead and watch that.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
My question, why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-HOLA.
Hello, Colin. Welcome to the Men's Room.
How in the world are you, gentlemen?
Oh, excellent,
Colin,
sir.
How in the world are you?
I just got back from the gas station. Had to get beer.
Okay, good call. How much did you buy?
Just a six-pack.
All right.
Sometimes I go to the beer station and get gas.
Do you get any cigarettes?
No, I already had those.
Okay. I was going to say, that's a great habit to pick up. You know what I mean? If you're bored over the time where you're supposed to be self-quarantined. I mean, smoking, what could be better for you?
It's not healthy, but it is a good reason just to go outside.
Yeah, it gets you out of the house. I find myself cooking for the family a lot more than I used to.
You kidding me? That's all anybody's been doing.
I find I do a lot of things for the family that I wouldn't do before.
Yeah.
It turns out I actually like them.
Yeah, you guys got kids, so I feel sorry for you a little bit. I mean, I love children, but, you know.
Well, everyone loves children. They stay crunchy in milk. But I will say this. On some level, the kids make it a little bit easier. Because they can still find joy in really stupid things, and sometimes you get sucked into it. It's been a good thing. Not so much in the mornings, F them. But after that, they're pretty decent.
So were you either home or away from home for a while?
I was gone for a year. I was exchange student in Germany.
Yeah.
I remember
you.
Was that in college or high school?
High school.
Okay. And what year of high school?
Junior year.
How do you make that happen, man? Look, Baltimore City Schools, I'll be honest, ain't a whole lot of foreign exchange students. You haven't done anything to deserve that. But how do you get into the program, and then how do you get selected for people to trust you in high school to disappear from home for a year in a foreign country?
Well, we did an experiment back in, like, 7th or 8th grade to see if it was easier for younger kids to learn a foreign language. And so I just kind of progressed through the ranks. And when it came up my junior year, I'd already met the person and their family through a month exchange or something like that. And so it wasn't like just walking into a strange home.
Okay. But you're walking into a different world. When you're 16 years old in the United States of America, you know, you're becoming an adult. You can drive. There's all these other things. But now you're going to a place where you can have a beer if you want.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, with dinner, with your host family. So how did that change as far as how quickly you matured and grew up?
I want to say some of it sucked really bad because in the United States at 16, you can drive. Over there, you have to wait till you're 18 or 19.
All right.
But I could walk into any tavern I wanted and have a beer and a Vino schnitzel or something.
So to me, that's a fair trade.
I was going to ask, what did you find was easier to live with? The fact that, man, I just got my license and now I can't drive. Or, hell, in exchange for that, I can go to the bar. Because I'll take the bar every day of the week.
I was okay with not driving because they got down over there. You can get pretty much anywhere you want, bus or train.
That's true. That's
what,
true.
What was different about the school part?
Oh, God. It was a lot harder. We went to school 6 days a week. Saturday school was like a half day every other Saturday. And you had like 15 different courses as opposed to here where we had 6 or 7.
Okay. What was your best social memory? Did you go to Oktoberfest? Did you get a girlfriend? I mean, what did you enjoy outside of the school?
The German stink finger.
Yeah, do you still make, like, schnitzel or anything like that?
I actually was lucky enough to get on an international soccer team, so we did some traveling.
Where else did you go?
I went to Budapest.
That's crazy. Okay. And
Jesus.
I would have to think your footy skills stepped up a notch there, playing in Germany.
Oh, yeah, when I came back to the States, I was instantly on a select team.
That's crazy. And did you meet a girl over there or anything? Did you leave someone behind in Germany?
Well, I didn't leave anything behind. I left her behind, but yeah. No, the girls were really friendly to me once I was able to kind of talk to them. It was hard at first.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Do you remember any German? The point I'm getting at, when Robin gives out Russian birthday wishes, we have no idea what the hell she's saying. I'll be down on. We don't know. You have any idea what she's saying?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And I don't know that I can repeat it, but I swear one day I'm going to do the best I can to keep it clean. It sounded like she called somebody a fart gobbler.
Oh, really?
That's the kind of stuff Robin's saying.
That's wonderful for your birthday. Okay.
That was like almost a literal translation, and I almost crashed my car.
What year were you in Germany? What years were you there?
Let's see. I was a junior, 88 and 89.
So was Hasselhoff just huge then?
I hated him.
Yeah, but wasn't he the man?
But
wasn't he the man then when you were in Germany?
Yeah, him and Alf.
Okay.
Hasselhoff's in the same company as Alf, I'm sure.
Wow. Yeah. But he was like a huge pop star. Like, wasn't he on the radio all the time?
Yeah, and Samantha Fox, and yeah, it was horrible.
Okay. All right.
Wow. David Hasselhoff and Alf.
You go to Germany and all they're playing on the radio is the Hofster. Why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA. I will say this. My daughter did a couple of those. She did one in high school in Japan.
Now,
and she loved that.
How much Japanese does she speak?
I'm sure she speaks the basics that she needs to speak. And then she did London for a semester as well. And she cried when she had to leave there.
Yeah, I mean, I went to London once, man. There's something about it. It's a cool city. And I was on Drury Lane, land of the Muffin Man. Sorry.
She taught me a lot. Like, you can't take a cab there. I've never been to London, so I don't know.
What do you mean you can't take a cab?
You can take a cab there, but it'll cost you like an arm and a leg.
Oh, yeah, it's not cheap.
No, it's
but
ridiculous.
But I will say this. You are riding in frickin' luxury, man. These things, it's that same black car you see all the time. And I can't explain it, but it seems like they're bigger on the inside than the outside. It's the nicest ride I've taken in my life.
So, like, if you're in the back seat, you have foot room, and it looks like
plenty of foot room. Oh, yeah, nice. I mean, it's staggering, man. It's real nice, and it was very, 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 very expensive.
Yeah, I didn't think she was going to come home.
But you can take the one nice thing about London, it's so expensive that coming home, you're like, cool. It is a pricey place to be.
I will tell you this, that where she went to school in London, downtown, was cheaper than a university here in a town that rhymes with Wellingham.
Really?
So it was cheaper for her to go to school in London that semester than to go to her regular school in Wellingham.
All right, so let me say your
think about that for a minute. In state.
If I'm your daughter.
So it's cheaper than Western.
In other words, but if I'm your daughter, aside from the fact that I'm appallingly ugly, and I apologize for that, I would try to convince you to send me to school in London then. Like, look, it's cheaper for you.
Yeah.
You're on the hook, right?
It was cheaper even to stay and live in London and go to school than it was in Wellingham.
In state.
Right, yes. And Bellingham is a beautiful little town.
It's not London.
It ain't London. I mean, criminy.
Well, has she... I would be like, Dad, I will save you money. Send me to school over
there.
She
was going to continue, yeah. She was going to go to Belgium next.
But, oh, she bounced.
Which was less money. Why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA.
I did nothing like that.
They didn't. It's like pharmaceuticals. They didn't go to the well that the United States collegiate system went to as far as jacking up all of the tuition and the rates for no reason. So just like you could go and get a regular prescription in London, and it would not be astronomical because they have not jacked up the pharmaceuticals. Most of them are actually made in Europe. They do the same thing with education. They've kept it reasonable, so most people have access to it.
Oh, what do you know? Healthy and smart.
What a concept.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So when I was 19, back in 2014, I'm a millennial, I decided to head to North Dakota back in October of 2014. And I didn't tell my mother. And for the first 2 weeks, still didn't tell her. And I was already working, found a company over there. It was starting to get a little cold over there because the winter season's about to kickstart. And I finally get a call about 2.5 weeks in asking where I'm at.
Were you living with her at the time?
I was. I was still living at home at the time.
And how old were you?
I was 19.
Okay,
packed up my Toyota 4Runner and left one morning and set off to North Dakota to go work in the pipeline.
And boy, did you even tell her that you were going to be leaving?
No. I literally left at 2 o'clock in the morning, just upped and left.
Why is that? Why did you not want to tell your mother?
What happened? Did you get a lead? Did you just feel like that she wouldn't let you go? What was your thought?
I would think that she would have probably stopped me or convinced me to find a job locally. But I had buddies over there making a lot of money, so I had to go where the money was.
And how much, was it worth it?
It was worth it, but during the wintertime, negative 50 degrees was not worth it.
Okay.
Within 16 to 18 hours a day. Out in the cold.
It was interesting. That was an interesting time in North Dakota, and it's just happened here within the last few years, and I think it's kind of come and gone, but with fracking and everything else, there was kind of like a gold rush for North Dakota, and you know, all these guys went up there to work on the lines and everything else, and the population exploded. The amount of the rent went up. People started buying more homes there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. More restaurants started going in. Unfortunately, there was a incredible lack of any female there at all, unless you were from that area.
See, that was the tough part, was it was a man's town. There was absolutely no female. And if there was females, they were already married.
Yeah, because they're from there, and they grew up in that town.
It was a tough time for that. Especially being 19.
You probably learned 15 different ways to masturbate.
Right. Was there a town that you could even drive close to go out? Or was it just like, it was just did you even get close to getting lucky?
No.
I would say, so I lived in a remodeled house. And me and my buddy, this guy that was remodeling his house, remodeled his pantry that was next to the kitchen into a bedroom. And he put a bunk bed in there. So I definitely had no room for shagging.
Yeah, even if you got lucky. And now all that is kind of...
Even if I got lucky.
All of that's kind of gone away now, right? It's not that they're not still fracking and going for oil there. It's just not the same rush. There's not the same amount of industry, correct?
Correct, yeah. There's
over there right now.
So all that just went bust. It's kind of like, you know, like a gold rush or
but
like...
But it makes sense.
Coal mines or whatever.
It's North Dakota, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think, like, this is not the epicenter of industry, as it were. Like, we got listeners in Grand Forks. They know that much. But, so when you bring these outside industries like that, you know it's on a timeline, right? But in the end, it's done. Same thing, a small town I have to go to in Pennsylvania. Teeny tiny town, but fracking took off there. And their downtown, historic, I'm saying the buildings. There's virtually zero businesses left, but all of these storefronts are loaded, man, all these different restaurants, different types of restaurants, because all these guys came in from around the country. And for like 4 or 5 years, man, it was good for everyone. Well, when they packed up, I mean, it wasn't subtle. Like, they were, it's like basically over the weekend, done. And all these guys went away, but all these restaurants collapsed and all the rest of this stuff, man. And now it's just that same old town with nothing going on.
I lived in the shadow of the steel in the coal mining era, and
lucky you
on the backside of
it. In the shadow or downstream from?
Way downstream from the boom. I mean, this was and everything was dead. I mean, you go to Wheeling, West Virginia, which was an old steel town, and basically most of the town had shut down. I mean, it was a booming industry. It was a booming economy at one point in time, and now you go and you can see the remnants of what was. There is a little bit of suburbia, a little shopping mall here, a little strip mall there, but for the most part, it's like being in a ghost town. When I go to see my mom and my grandma, which I'm not going to for a while now, but they live so far away. By the time I fly 8-7 hours with layovers, then I get in a car and I drive 3 more. And it's in the
middle.
Where
are you flying to? Pittsburgh?
No, I'm flying to Charleston, West Virginia.
Okay.
Which is where they look at me like this. Seattle, huh? We're going to go through your bag, Gary, you liberal piece of crap. And then I get in my rental car at Avis, and then I drive down 3 hours, right? But their town is so isolated and so desolate, to give you an idea how crazy it is. There's nothing open downtown. The entire town is dead. The coal mines are shut down. My mom had a tumor or something, or a lump on her breast. She had to get checked out.
That is funny.
It is funny, because she had to drive 3.5 hours to Pikeville, Kentucky to get it done. But the machine broke down there.
Oh, no.
So they had 7 people waiting. Nobody could get in. So they called her 3 weeks later and said, you can come back. We finally had somebody come out here and fix it.
Jeez.
And they had to drive another 6 hours to get that.
Oh, it's bad now.
Unfortunately, she's doing fine. She didn't have anything of that stuff. But it's just, that tells you how just out of them, and all these people there, they truly believe that there's no chance that this is going to come their way because they are so far out. What they don't realize is that there's no borders involved in this. You know what I mean?
That's not
Kentucky's
how this works.
Getting hit pretty hard right now. One of the main senators in Kentucky, out of the two, is in quarantine. So, you know, like they think it's not going to affect them. But it's definitely...
It's going to.
But they're already quarantined because they live.
They can't isolate themselves
more. The problem is, once a week when you go into Walmart or you go into the Piggly Wiggly or whatever the hell it is, and you push around the shopping cart, you get into contact with somebody, then you bring that home. Yeah, you could live in the middle of nowhere, but when that one person goes out, that one time a week, even if it's all that's required, go to the gas station, go to the grocery store, go to the pharmacy, whatever. That's when you bring it back.
You do, but to be fair... How much more could you possibly do to isolate? Like, look, it's going to come to you. That's not the question, but everything we're doing, you kind of already do.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have nothing to do.
Where would
to go.
You like to be stuck right now? If you could be stuck anywhere, right?
All right, so same situation. It's just your surroundings are there.
Correct. You're stuck, though.
All right, now, look, you got the dream spots, but those are spots I have not been. So based on places I have, you know what? All right, so it's one of two places. Either Mazatlan, Mexico.
All right.
Right? Because, look, no matter what's going on, it's still 80 degrees sunny, the birds are singing, right? And it just smells like ocean and plants I can't identify. So if things are going to suck, and it's real cheap there, too. So when you do go places cheap, and then last year I had the chance to go to Malta, I think I'd be pretty cool chilling on Malta for a while.
Yeah, but not now.
But look, here's the difference. I'm here, and I got home, I got the family. That's great. Malta, I'm in the middle of the Mediterranean. It's just gorgeous. Look, my situation doesn't change, right? Like, I still got to stay inside. Yeah. You still got to homeschool the kids. The difference is, when I go out and smoke a cigarette now, I'm looking at a chain link fence and the family of raccoons doing their slow grind back. This is every night.
Yep.
Or I could walk outside, stand on a cliff, look at the Mediterranean as the sun sets, and say to myself, man, this sucks.
Why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Brendan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Brendan, were you either away or at home?
Well, I was at home when it happened and then kicked out afterwards.
All right.
So, my wife and her friend Stacy were going to a bar, so I decided to invite like two of my friends over. And, you know, one of them was like, hey, man, I know where to get some like cocaine. Do you want to do some? And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Sure. So anyway, as the night progresses, we keep going through this little bag of coke. And as I'm snorting like one of the last lines, my wife friggin' pops in, comes home early because I guess some chick had puked on her at the bar, so she decided to come up from the bar early. So I was caught mid-snort, friggin' snorting up a line. So
what, did you get kicked out of the house?
Oh, yeah, for like a week.
And where did you end up going? To the coke dealers?
No, I stayed with my buddy. He doesn't live very far from my house, but yeah.
Did you do more blow with him?
Was he one of the guys that you were with doing the coke?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. So your wife's like, wait a minute. I catch you mid-snort doing cocaine. She flips her lid. You say, all right, you know, I understand, babe. I'll get out of your hair for a while. And you're going to stay with one of the dudes you don't coke with. Like, to me, that'd be like punishing my son for playing Xbox. Like, I want you to go to your buddy's house and play Xbox.
Did you know how long that you were being put in timeout, or was it a day-to-day basis?
It was more of like, you're mad, so I'm just going to go away for a little bit.
Okay, so you voluntarily took off, is that what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't want to catch the heat. I'll deal with it later, right?
Okay, and how many times in your are you still with this person?
Oh, yeah. We've been married 3 years now.
Okay. I was going to say, I almost guarantee they're still together.
And how many other times have you known it's probably best that you just leave for the night?
Well, it happens a lot. And I piss her off a lot on purpose most of the time.
Okay.
But, you know, just, I don't know, I poke and prod at her. But, I mean, you know, that's how you're going to tell you got a good woman if she, you know, if she can't take a little bit of poking and prodding every
time. Yeah, sure. It's like the one-armed kid. You got petting that alligator.
Poke.
Yeah. Hey, he'll be my friend someday. Our question, why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line where your call's coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hola, bitch, hola. You have entered the men's room.
Well, I'll be an astronaut in space for a while. Scott Kelly lived on the International Space Station for nearly a year. It was the longest a human had lived away from Earth. And as he said, it was not easy. In an article and essay in the New York Times, he offers a couple of tips here for those who are in quarantine. And as we are in day two of the lockdown here in Washington State, a couple of tips from him. He says, hey, if you can follow a schedule on the space station, my time was scheduled tightly from the moment I woke up to when I went to bed. My normal tasks range from simple 5-minute ones to a spacewalk that could last for a few hours, but it's important you have something planned to do, and maintaining a plan will help you and your family adjust to a different work and home environment. Also, pace yourself. When you're living and working in the same place for days on end, work can have a way of taking over everything if you let it. He says, basically, living in space, I deliberately paced myself because I knew I was in it for the long haul, just like we're living today. Also, he suggests go outside. It wasn't the easy thing to do.
He's in a spaceship.
But he would take spacewalks, and he said, look, if you can go outside, at least try to once a day and abide by social distancing. Stay 6 feet away from people. He definitely did that up in space.
Being what, 230 miles mm-hmm. above you or something?
Another suggestion is, hey, man, get a hobby. Do something you haven't done or pick up something that you haven't picked up for a while. Also, keep a journal. If you can, and take time to connect with your loved ones that are outside of your home.
I don't know that he could do any, like, go outside. He could keep a journal, but even if you want to pick up a new hobby, like, all you have on the space station is the stuff in the space station. It's like you're saying on the sub.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's not on the sub and you're submerged, well, your hobby is going to be one of these things that's here.
I would say this. It's pretty interesting watching him on Twitter with all the pictures and everything when they're just up there, like, hanging out.
Oh, the space station?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell
absolutely.
Yeah.
Why were you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA.
Quick side note about the space station. Something I'd read from all the astronauts. They said, man, you know, it's an honor to go up there. You train. It's all this sci-fi stuff. When the airlock opens and you actually physically go there, it said it just reeks of body odor.
Of course.
Just armpits and sweat.
You can't take a shower, right?
No, well, you can, but it's...
sponge off, kind of.
Right. It's just not the same. But they said the first... And think about this. You're in outer frickin' space. You're on a spaceship. But the thing you remember most is how bad it smelled.
When you got on.
Right. When you first got on.
When you get in. Yeah.
And so it doesn't take long to adjust, but there's a noticeable difference in what things smell
like. It's like that moldy smell in Grandma's house.
You can never put a finger on it.
Is it mothballs? Is it mold? What is
it? Is it her?
I don't know. Why are you either home or away from home for a while? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Jason, so are you home for a while or away from home?
I was gone from home for close to 2 years. I mean, it was kind of staggered. I would be able to come home sometimes on the weekends.
What was the circumstance?
I'm an apprentice, lineman.
So you were basically just going everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So it started out, I was living close to where I live now for about between January to October in Watertown, New York, because I live just south of Rochester. And then right there in October, I went ahead and actually bought a house where I live now in Avon, and I want to say the very next weekend after I bought the house, I got a call saying, hey, guess where you're going? Westchester County, 6 hours away. And I was there for 15 months.
Jeez. How was that?
It was horrible, but I got out of there just in time about 2 months later because this just happened.
Okay.
I got out of there before the big coronavirus hit in that area.
What's going on now in New York? I guess you're listening on WCMF. What the hell's happening?
Okay, you're in Rochester. So people that don't know, Rochester's, what, a 6-7 hour drive west of New York City. So you're not in the epicenter, but I got to think it's still pretty bad.
Yeah, we're in the triple digits for cases now. 3 deaths so far as that goes. The city I haven't been to, but a lot of places are shut down. We're getting ready to, because I've been catching up on the podcast with you guys, and it's sounding like we're getting close to being what you guys are under right now.
Well, it's inevitable, man. I mean, it's a virus. That's the long or short of it. The thing is, it's a virus, so it does not care what country you're in or what state you're in. You're going to get it or you're not, but this thing just seems so remarkably contagious is the thing. So once it's brought there, it'll start spreading. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for the most part, though, I will say this, being in what they call the American epicenter, as it was, now New York City probably is, people here, for the most part, going a little stir-crazy, but seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
It's almost the exact opposite of crazy because there's nothing going on. Some people have pointed out there's nothing going on downtown. People have pointed out that a lot of the suburban parks, a lot of the dummies are taking their kids out there to play with like 800 other kids. You probably want to stop doing that. But otherwise, it's a surreal, weird thing. By the way, quick recommendation, movies. I watched Contagion the other night. I'm like, you know what? Don't give me that look. I'm like, why the hell
not? You just hopping on the paranoia train?
No, I'm not paranoid. It is what it is. Man, yeah. Like I said, we got to adult up, accept reality. It is what it is. But I watch Contagion, and it's not that the movie's funny. It's not a funny movie. It's really, really not. But it came out, what, like 2016, 2017? What was crazy about it to me was just how much it kind of mimics what's going on now. Now, obviously, the disease in that movie is severely worse than this.
Okay.
You got to make a movie out of it. But the terms they were using, because I don't ever recall hearing the term, a novel virus, right? We just, for me anyway, my first experience of that, it's the last couple of months hearing about this one. Well, in that movie, that's all they say. So it really sounds like they're talking about what's going on, where it started from. It came out of China, right? So they're trying to track it back there. How it's, all this stuff, but the same quarantine, all the same stuff. And I'm watching a movie like,
what's the end result of the movie?
Other than the severity of the virus that they focus on in that movie, I'm like, this is going to be a documentary about right now.
Do things get back to normal in the movie?
No. The movie just kind of ends. And this is the thing about the movie. And if it's a spoiler alert, sorry. Sometimes it's cool when you cast a big name in a movie and they just get wiped out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow, gone.
Was she?
Kate Winslet.
Did they kill Gwyneth Paltrow in the movie?
First.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, you'll morbidly enjoy the scene. Kate Winslet, big name, so gone.
Really?
It doesn't matter. You're going to die.
All right. Why were you either at home or away from home for a while? 844-999-HOLA.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.